A friend of mine told me he was in trouble. I thought he needed some money, so I asked if I could be of any help. He said, friend, I'm in trouble so deep, can't nobody get me out. He sat down with a sad look on his face, and this is what he said. I've got three women in my life, my mama, my girlfriend, and my wife. I got three women in my life, my mama, the other woman, and my wife.
Was a great old man, I could see him with a shovel in his hand. See, education that he never had, but he did wonders when the times got bad. But little money from the crops we raised barely paid the bills we made. The whole life whipped him down to the ground, and when he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. And that day, Papa called me to his dying bed, placed his hands on my shoulders, and in tears he said, "Is it past? I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son is all left up to you."
Our guest today is someone real special because not only was he the lead singer and the chairman of the board, and one of my favorite songs, Give Me Just a Little More Time. I love that song, and the way he sang it was just awesome. But it's interesting to note that I didn't even know this before we booked this interview, that General is one of the greater songwriters around. He's written a ton of songs, and one of them is one of my favorite songs. When people say to me, "Hey, Mark, where are you from?" I always say to him, I was raised on a farm, and folks used to call me Patches, and Mama used to tease me about it, but deep down inside she was hurt because she'd done all she could, you know. And people, remember that song by Clarence Clemons. What they may not know is that General Johnson, my guest, actually wrote it. He also wrote songs like Wanted, Young Men, Single and Free, and songs like Somebody's Been Sleeping in My Bed, and he wrote Pay to the Piper, which was a follow-up hit for Chairman of the Board, and Bring the Boys Home for Freda Payne, which was a controversial song at the time. So this guy is a songwriter, he's a singer, a real talented man, and I am pleased to introduce General Johnson to the PNP Network. How are you?
Hey, I'm good.
So I never knew that you were such a prolific writer as well as a singer.
Well, best kept secret, right?
I mean, it's amazing to me.
Yeah, well.
Now, and the new CD that you guys have, the newest one called All in the Family, mm-hmm. You actually have your own new renditions of Patches and Somebody's Been Sleeping in My Bed.
Yeah, I included that in the album. I felt that I usually don't like to do things that have already been done, but I just felt that, so I went in the studio and re-recorded them all again.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, tell me a little bit about the whole group. You guys are all from Detroit, right?
Well, that's funny. I'm from Norfolk, Virginia.
You are, okay.
And Danny Woods was originally from Atlanta.
Hmm.
Ken Knox was lived most of his life in Detroit. That's Ken Knox, who took the place of Harrison Kennedy. When I had the lawsuit with Harlan Doge in Harlem, Harrison decided to go back to Canada. We could only work in Europe, but we had to make a living somehow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When I say Harlan, in case the listeners don't understand, I was, all those songs that I wrote, different artists and also the chairman of the board, was for Harlem Doge and Holler's recording company, Invictus Records. And when I decided to leave, and the reason that I did leave was because when I weighed the success against profits that were going into my pocket, the scales went clonk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I asked them to, I didn't just up and bounce, I asked them to renegotiate a really crazy contract. They decided not to, and so I walked, and I suffered.
Well, you suffered, and obviously the band suffered as well. I mean, chairman of the board without you wasn't really chairman of the board at all.
Well, and you know, it's crazy because it was all about pennies, you know? And, of course, when I left, that there was not a lot of harmony with other artists. When I left, then everybody left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and at the time, we were writing and producing. My friend and production partner, Greg Perry, at that time, we had the number one girls group in the world.
Which group was that?
Right.
The Honeycombs? Or?
Oh, yeah, because we had like two million selling records, and one they told us sold only 900,000.
Because
the follow-up to One As was Stick Up, which was a million selling record.
Right, and One Monkey Don't Stop
and
No
One
Show.
Monkey Story. Oh, you on it.
Yes. Yeah. Now, you wrote all those songs, right?
Yes.
Wow. So, you know, it's interesting to note that I've had, you know, hundreds and actually thousands of singers and songwriters on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the money is made when you write the songs, not rather than performing them. If you can do both, you're doing great. But so you actually did really well in terms of writing a lot of hit tunes.
Well, what a lot of people really don't understand is the foundation of the business is the song.
Right.
You know, when you think about it, you know, with common sense, and you see artists fade away, recording companies even fade away, executives fade away, but the song is still there, and the song is recorded again and again and again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A great song lasts forever.
But what kind of I got to ask you a question though. I mean, you had a number one song with "Give Me Just a Little More Time" with Chairman of the Board,
mm-hmm.
and obviously "Patches" was a huge hit for Clarence Carter. Mm-hmm. Do you get the same thrill out of a guy like Clarence bringing it to number one as you would yourself singing the song and bringing it to number one?
Well, in this case, you know, when you write a song, it's not as easy as a lot of people think. You know what I mean, you just don't jump up and just write a song. It don't just pop in your head. It takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a part of you. You know what I mean? And in fact, it's a part of your life. It's kind of like, I've been asked the question, which song do you like best? And it's kind of like asking a parent which child he likes best.
Right.
So basically what you want is the best, what's best for your song. And the way that Atlantic promoted and marketed Patches to the point that it was so strong until I even got a Grammy for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Invictus could have done that kind of job for the song.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were also nominated for a Grammy for the 100 Proof song, right? Somebody
yes,
Had Been Sleeping
yes,
in My
yes,
Bed.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, how did you end up meeting the folks from the Honeycombs? How did you get involved with them?
Well, the Honeycombs were an act for Invictus,
mm-hmm.
and Harlem Doja had tried to produce a single hit for them for maybe a couple of years before we went into the studio with them. We were the young guys on the block, you know. I don't know exactly what they had in store for us, maybe to fill out albums or whatever as far as producing things. But it got to the place where we were actually competing with Harlem Doja.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. I mean, you know, when you
things had to be strong because the bosses, you know, they made a decision as to what was going to be released next. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you think about this. I mean, Holland, Dozier Holland, mm-hmm. were some of the most prolific Motown writers that ever. These guys had hit after hit after hit.
Yes,
and
yes.
Here you were providing the hits for one of their bands, the Honeycombs.
Well, what happened is 2 years prior, because of the problem that they were having with Motown, before we did anything, I had the opportunity of sitting up under, staying at Lamont Dozier's house and being around this creative this creative machine of Holland, Dozier and Holland, and I learned the art of writing a song, and along with Greg, we had learned the art of producing a song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I came there, I had natural ability. I wrote a song called "It Will Stand," which Dick Clark had said was like a standard of rock and roll.
Hmm.
You know, if you remember, did you remember "It Will Stand" by Sherman?
No, I don't remember that one.
Oh, rah, 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 rah. You take some music, free-flowing music, some moving and grooving, rock and roll. You got to check that out.
I will.
Yeah. "It Will Stand" was in fact, that was the first song that I had ever written. In fact, the song was, the reason the Holland Dozier were interested in me because the song was number one in Detroit for about 5 or 6 weeks.
Ah.
Yeah, well, it was a charted record.
Yeah.
My problem before I went with Invictus was every time I went with the label was going out of business, you know, and "It Will Stand" was on the charts for, God, year or more.
Wow.
You know, it was like, it was number one in Chicago, number one, you know, in L.A., you know, but spotted, you know, never at one time. So it never got that oomph, you know, big push thing.
Right.
But it was number one in a lot of different places. It was a big record in a lot of different places.
And that was actually, I mean, I think of you know, "Give Me Just a Little More Time" is the one that really put you out there, but sounds like that one did before.
That one is the one, that was the most important song of my career because that's the song that drew the attention to me from Holland Dozier. They couldn't use me while they were at Motown, but when they left Motown, I was like one of the first artists that they got in touch with for their situation.
Yeah, that song, the way you sang it too, it's just, what a great song. I mean, it stands up right now. I hear it now, and it's like a new song. It's just so awesome.
Yeah. That was one of, well, let's give Holland Dozier some credit. That's their song. That's the song that they'd written.
Right.
And you got to understand this, too. It's very, very hard after you put so much energy into a career to start over again. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they left Motown, it was very hard for them to start over again to the point that there was not a lot of harmony between them. So Edward Holland was trying to be the president of the company, so business and creativity do not work together. They just don't mesh.
Mm-hmm.
Brian and Lamont were tired. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you didn't have Holland, Dozier, Holland working on songs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it wasn't the same.
The songs that they had, I do believe, were already written, like "Give Me Just Some More Time," "Band of Gold," or whatever. Mm-hmm. They were probably already written while they were still at Motown.
Right. Well, you know, stress and business responsibilities don't really lend well to creative thought.
Hey, man, believe me, as it is now, I had a regional recording company. I hooked up with Al Bell, if you're familiar with Al Bell.
Yes, yep.
The old Stax thing, anyway. Well, anyway, they're marketing that album that you have now. They are marketing and promoting that particular project. The label is mine.
XL Music Group?
XL Music Group. Then I ran into another problem of booking agencies. So then I had to start my own booking agency. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And just down in North Carolina, the General Entertainment, in order to protect myself. But it's doing quite, you know, it's doing quite well now. But at the same time, the business of it all takes away from the creativity.
Absolutely.
And sometimes I have to get lost, you know.
Absolutely.
The people at the office are wondering, well, why can't you do this? Why? I have to get lost. I have to get away from it, you know, in order to write a song. Because that's what I was put on earth to do, write a song and sing it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But all this other stuff comes in because to make a good living, you have to be in control.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, that you know you mentioned that Give Me Just a Little More Time was not, you didn't write that song.
No, it's Holland Ocean.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you actually, though, gave it life. I mean, you know, look at Patches. Patches, I don't know how it would have done with you singing it. I have no idea. But with Clarence Carter, it took a life of its own on, and it made it his song. You made Give Me Just a Little More Time your own song, and I don't know if that would have been a hit for anybody else. Who knows?
Well, that's what you call a good producer. A good producer knows whose voice lends best to a particular material.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And know who's going to really make that material live. Give Me Some More Time was my song. That song was written for me. That song was here, there, before I got there. They recruited me for that song. That was the first thing that I heard when I came to Detroit from Norfolk, Virginia, was, can you sing this? You know, first they wanted to hear me sing to see if I was the right person, sing It Will Stand. I played the piano on song It Will Stand.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next thing they wanted to hear was Give Me Just a Little More Time. They gave me the hook, Give Me Just a Little More Time, and All I Will Show to Grow. And boom, I sung that and said that's my man.
When you first saw that song, when you first read it, did you say to yourself, this is going to be a huge hit?
No. All I heard was the chorus line. The song was not written. And it's a funny thing, for 2 years, I was running around the studios trying to learn the art of writing a song and about production. And it's a strange thing because they put the song out and it was two-sided. I think the other side was Tricked and Trapped by Tricky Trapper or something. I forget exactly what it was, the B-side.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself rooting, hoping that they would release the other side, because at that point, I wanted to write and produce.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
But when the thing came out, it was a different thing. All of a sudden, I was rooting for myself.
Yeah, well, the thing is, too, that the follow-up hit you wrote, I mean, Pay to the Piper was your song, so that gives you a little bit more, you know, incentive to get that thing going, you know?
Yeah, Pay to the Piper was a song that I had written.
I like that song as well, but I can't get that Give Me Just a Little More Time out of my head. It's amazing. I mean, Patches, I feel the same way about it. I love that song. Mm-hmm. I was just at Gold's Gym out here and talking to folks about interviewing you, and they were mentioning that song Patches made them cry when they first heard it. So, I mean, it's an amazing power that you have when you're a songwriter and a performer, that you can make people cry and make people laugh and entertain them in so many ways.
I'm in the process of changing phones. If you lose me, here I go. I'm going through the house, and I am changing phones.
You're changing phones?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hear you better now than I did before. Yep. So this is you know, you've been performing for a hell of a long time now. I understand did you reform the chairman of the board? Are you guys back together?
Right. I reformed the chairman of the board. Well, Danny's still the guy who sung Pay to the Piper.
Danny Woods is still with the group.
Right. Right. In fact, we do things. In fact, General Entertainment, last week we did a, I had a con- concert. We had Little Richard. We had The Impressions. We had Eddie Floyd of Knock on Wood. And we had the Titan Up Man. What's his name? The guy who sang
Archie Bell and the Drells.
Archie Bell, right. We had, right. So we, you know, we work on an average. Well, you down here is rhythm and blues. When I said down there, in case the listeners don't understand, we talk about the Carolinas, Virginia, Tennessee, Georgia. They have a music they call beach music, which is strange because most people think of the Beach Boys.
Well, the Carolinas
really
is
rhythm and blues, R&B the way it used to be.
Yeah, from North Carolina.
Right.
Yeah.
You did what now?
I mean, I'm familiar with Surfside Records, a company that was formed by you.
Yeah, right.
And that was the kind of music you guys were doing.
Right.
But so now, also, did you bring back Ken Knox to the group, too?
Yeah, do what now?
Is Ken Knox with the group again, too?
Yeah, Ken Knox. That's the group. Danny Woods, myself, and Ken Knox.
See, all three of you guys can actually sing.
I couldn't hear you.
I said all three of you guys can actually sing.
Well, Ken don't sing that good. But Danny is all. Danny is all. Hey, in fact, the song that they released for this Southern Soul thing that we're doing is called Three Women.
Right. That's also on the All in the Family CD as well.
Right. That's the song that was released from the All in the Family CD down in you know. In fact, we got a lot of action on it from Miami through the Carolinas, all through the South. And Danny is singing that. That's Danny singing.
Ah, okay. Well, that's a nice song, and Danny sounds pretty good on it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's actually got two mixes on the CD. You got an extended mix in there as well.
Right, the two mixes, because we do have the extended mix on the single, for the single. You know, DJs are playing...
for the dance clubs.
Yeah.
Always is good to have a longer song so that people can stay on the dance floor a little longer.
Well, that intro, and then it's another talk part.
Right. Yeah, it's a little bit like Patches.
Right.
In fact, we put a little tiny bit of it, about 30 seconds of it, in the intro to this interview,
but
so people could hear it.
But I think the song that would people that, for remembrance sake, I think the song that would sound more like Chairman of the Board of Seven would probably be Bless Your Heart.
Exactly. Yeah, Bless Your Heart. I like that song too. That's a good one.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of good songs on it. I mean, it's a nice CD. Now, if folks want to get it, they can go to generalentertainment.com, right?
Yeah, surfside.com or I forget ARE. If you go to surfside.com, they'll show you how to get the record.
Okay, but you also have your own generalentertainment.com as well, right?
Well, Surfside is mine. I own Surfside.
Okay.
XL is just an extension of Surfside. General Entertainment is the booking agency.
I see.
Right.
Well, I'm going to put links to both of them on our site so that folks, if they want to book you or any of your pals to come down and do some entertainment, they can do that, and they can also go to Surfside and get the CD.
Oh, definitely so. If you come down to Myrtle Beach, go to the House of Blues. At some point, we'd be down there in the summers.
Yeah, you're down there a lot?
Oh, yeah. We were at the House of Blues maybe about four or five times. Well, maybe more than that, four or five, six times a year.
Yeah. What do you think about the music that's out now, some of the newer groups and newer performers? How do you compare them to the people who were performing in the early 70s like you guys?
Let me see. First of all, I don't think you have those songs that are as memorable. I'm talking about the song itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think, especially in the 60s, for my kind of music, for rhythm and blues, I think that was the strongest time.
I agree with you. Mid-60s to early 70s.
And early 70s. But you got to understand, too, that at that time, you had all these independent labels who were able to do the music that they liked. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And in doing so, you had so many different types of music.
Right, and now you've got a few.
Today is more or less monopolized by a few. And so it's just a blatant sameness as far as the music is concerned.
Right.
Now, I think after the 70s, it was not about the artist as much as it was about the producer. I think it became to an era of the producer. You don't have those artists that just stick out from the early ones, from Sam Cooke, Jackie Wilson, to the later ones, Marvin Gaye. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I sure do.
I'm talking about my music.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to the other thing I'm thinking about, from the Rolling Stones to the Beatles to Led Zeppelin to, I mean, just so many different groups, and everybody's doing a different thing. You understand what I'm saying?
I perfectly do. In fact, I talk to my kids about this. I have young children, and they tell me about how wonderful, 90 Degrees is and Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. And I'm telling them that the stuff they're listening to on the radio from the Rolling Stones, from the Beatles, from Elvis, stuff's 40 years old, and it's still holding up. You think any of this music that's around now is going to be heard in 40 years? No way.
It's the truth.
No way.
It's nothing but the truth, because it's so original. It's original versus hearing the same thing, more or less rehashed.
It's done in a blender,
because
the new stuff.
It's more about the beat now. It's more about dance. But that's the time that we live in. Nobody really listens to it.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, the problem is, though, exactly what you said. The consolidation. There's a few companies that own all the radio stations, a few that own all the record companies,
right.
one company like Clear Channel that owns all the venues, and you narrow down the possibilities of things. The only thing that I think is positive is maybe the Internet giving a lot of people a chance to kind of sample some of the new stuff that's out.
True. True to a certain extent. But it's still minimal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like television, radio.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's the way that's going to be until there's some serious changes. Those people in charge now are not music people.
No, they're
bean
counters. They're
more lawyers.
They're bean counters.
I had the opportunity to work with one lawyer who was a music man. That was Clive. I worked with Clive for a couple of years, Clive Davis.
Right. Well, he's an exception to the rule. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, he knows. He knows like when he is.
Yeah.
But a lot of these people that are in these, hey, they're more or less interested in
bottom line.
The bottom line.
That's it.
Right.
They don't care what comes out of the records. It could be the biggest crap. If it sells, they don't care.
Right. They just throw up against the wall.
Exactly.
And they got 15, 20 of them, throw them against the wall, the one that sticks. Wow. You know what I mean?
Now, folks out there,
all of them is hits. All of them are hits.
Folks out there are all saying to themselves, when can we see this guy? Are you going to be touring? Are you going to be around the country?
Well, that would have to do with how the record does. We're very, very fortunate in the thing that we do. We work 3 to 4 days a week if we want.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This might draw us out, just like the guy said in The Godfather. Every time I try to get out, they pull me back in. I was feeling very safe with what I was doing. You know what I mean? Feeling very secure. And this venture came about with Al Bell, and now I want it to succeed. And in doing so, if we have a hit record out of this stuff, then of course I'll have to start touring all over.
Hmm.
But if you're being served breakfast in bed, why get up and go to the dining room table? As it is now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, very good living.
Are you married yourself? Or?
Of course I am.
Yeah?
Yeah. In fact, I'm calling you. You call me, I'm home.
Yeah.
Right.
So do you have any children? Or?
Oh, they're children, but they're not children.
They're grown up. Any of them follow you into the music biz?
I always led them away from music.
Really?
Because, well, why?
Yeah.
Because if you don't have serious talent, you know, I'm not trying to bust anybody's bubble, but if you don't have serious talent, hey man, it's not going to last. So many people. The main thing is getting an education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something to follow.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
Right, right. I have a nephew who I bought a little Casio many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in his blood. In fact, he finished law school.
Mm.
Right. But instead of going, he's working up at Sony. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so he's got that.
It's in his blood, but
if
it doesn't happen, he's got something else that he can do.
Right, but your kids, none of them really had it in their blood, though, huh?
Oh, so what now?
None of your own children had it in their blood, though.
No. They have it in their blood.
Yeah.
But hey, man, I steer them to, you know, I always try to steer them away from the, because it's a lot of heartache.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of heartache in here when you're dealing, especially when you're dealing with people who